With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Gators Breakdown. The Gators Fan Podcast. Because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown Podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SCC. Florida beats Tennessee 47-21. Florida destroys the rivals from Knoxville, Tennessee in every facet of the game, and we'll break it down right here on Gators Breakdown. But remember, before we start, you can find Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. There you'll find all Gators Breakdown episodes, as well as the articles from the News for Jack sports team. That's news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Also, catch the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube if you want the video version. Some of you are joining me live now, so thank you very much. You can go back and look at it on there, too. And look, hey, when you're using all these services, please share, rate, and review the show. Let Gator Nation know what they're getting with Gators Breakdown. And on social media, follow Gators Breakdown on Twitter and Facebook. At Gators Breakdown. I'll say it again. Florida beats Tennessee. So, look, that was a fun game, an advantageous offense, a smothering defense, and a special teams unit that continues to make their presence felt early in Dan Mullen's first season at Florida. This was fun, Gator fans. You know, there's no spin on this one to make me not feel good about what happened in this game against Tennessee. Was everything perfect? Of course not. But, you know, this was the first road trip of the season for these guys, and we really didn't know what to expect going into this game. I mean, there was a lot of talk that Florida wasn't ready to go on the road and get this kind of win, even though, you know, Tennessee wasn't thought of as a very good team, and a lot of people wanted to put Florida in that same category. Look, you know, I thought the game would be closer, but I believed Dan Mullen would have the team ready to go, given his experience in coaching in games like this, Jeremy Pruitt's lack of experience in things like this, Florida overall better talent there, I think, especially in the playmaker positions. And, hey, look, Dan Mullen had this team ready to go in a hostile environment. And the Gators were ready to go early after punting. You know, kind of go through the game here. You know, I don't do it a whole lot of kind of just pointing out, you know, kind of play-by-play or drive-by-drive, but I thought it was really good for this game to kind of put the little things that we saw together, especially in this first half of every kind of things coming together. Is it perfect machine right now by any stretch of the imagination? No, but as I said, we got some ups and downs in year one, especially, and going on the road and proving what they proved. I think, you know, just really, really speaks volumes of the progress that this team is making right now. And as I said, the Gators were on it early after punting on this first possession. You know, the offense was helped by some turnovers forced by the Gators defense. And starting with Ja'Kai Polite putting a hard hit on Jarrett Garantano and David Reese picking up the fumble out of midair. And speaking of David Reese, wow, you know, in his first game back this season, he comes in and leads the team with tackles with 11. So already you can see the type of player and what he brings to the table for this Gator defense. First game back, leads the team with tackles with 11, and his presence was felt from the very start. So you could definitely tell he is the leader on this defense. And look, I was sold on his importance by what he had to say post-game. He discussed missing time by, you know, he got injured, missed some time here. And he went on to say, I was sad, but then I got to reflect on the position that I was in and the leadership role that I had. I reached out to younger guys like James Houston and Ventrell Miller. I was also able to keep the energy up with Rashad Jackson. He has been doing a terrific job. They have been making plays out here today, and they will continue to keep making plays. So seeing him take these younger guys under his wing, hey, look, that'll be paying off this season. You know, Florida's going to have some numbers there at linebacker. I think the talent's a little better than I kind of thought coming into to the season. These guys are really showing up. But you can still see the separation of what somebody like David Reese brings to the table and the guys that are under him. It'll come along with some experience, but him being able to come along game one, lead the team in tackles, it really speaks volume for the type of player Florida's getting with him. He's a leader on and off the field, it seems like, right now. So that's another reason I think these linebackers are – look, we know what happened 2 weeks ago. We know what Kentucky did, and we've seen what they're continuing to do. So, you know, was it as bad as what they showed? I don't think so. But, you know, the coaching staff and these players have taken it upon themselves to turn that position around in 2 weeks' time. And we've seen in two games since that Kentucky game, they're making incremental steps. But part of that being better and part of that being maybe – I don't necessarily want to say dominant yet. We want to see how this keeps going, plenty more chances and plenty more games to keep on. But you know, this linebacker core is definitely better with David Reese out there on the field. So as far as run defense goes, you know, he's an integral part of what this defense can potentially do, like I said. So, you know, after that fumble, the offense comes out, takes advantage of great field position, and scores in four plays as Franks finds R.J. Raymond for the first touchdown in the game and R.J. Raymond's first touchdown of his career. So offense taking advantage of what the defense is giving him. But here we go. Again, very next drive. Luke Ankrum makes an appearance with an interception of a screen pass. Jarrett Garantano's first interception of the season, by the way. So his first interception is to a defensive lineman. So who would have guessed that? So after that, offense takes over on the 7-yard line. Frank scoring the second play of the drive with a run to his left side, and it's 14-0 quickly Gators in the first quarter here. Later on in the first quarter, perhaps the most important play of the night that might get overlooked is LaMichael Perine's recovery of the onside kick. And Tennessee had just kicked the field goal to make it 14-3. They're still in the game. Perine fumbled on that drive to get Tennessee in great field position and get in that field goal range. Jeremy Pruitt then calls for the onside kick to keep some momentum in Tennessee's favor. And Tennessee would have recovered if not for Perine going up and getting that kick. Being on point, keeping your keys there. And Dan Mullen even said, we knew, and quote here, we knew coming in to expect that. We knew they were going to fake a punt or try to steal a possession with an onside kick. You didn't know when it was going to happen, but you knew it was going to happen. We talked about the discipline and consistency all week. You were starting to see the consistency for us in special teams a little bit. I like that. They were trying to make a play, but we were locked in. Nobody flinched an inch. We went up and got the ball. It was really, really well executed by them. LaMichael just went up and made a great play. So, look, I mean, that's what I'm saying. A bad thing happened, and Dan Mullen has kind of said, well, bad things are going to happen, but you got to forget about it. You got to move on. LaMichael Perine's out there on the hands team. Tennessee gets a field goal, trying to get back into this game. And, look, he goes up there and makes a play. In a way, makes up for that fumble because Tennessee gets that. You know, this game maybe plays out another way. You know, Florida was still owning the day in the trenches, so probably not. But it would have been a little bit closer game than what it turned out to be. So, you know, Florida may not have scored Florida may not have scored in the great field position they had right after that, but it set up the safety that ensued on the next Tennessee possession. So getting that onside kick kind of just started another whole avalanche into Florida's favor there. So Tennessee was backed up there, and then C.C. Jefferson drove his defender back. That helped hold some contained, and the Tennessee running back tried to bounce it out towards C.C. anyway. And with the help of Adam Schuler, the tandem of C.C. Jefferson and Adam Schuler gets the first safety since September 17, 2016 against North Texas for the Gators here. And it was the Gators' first safety in an SEC game since November 2, 2013 against Georgia. 16-13 Gators at that point. So, look, guys, you can sit here and say these little things are adding up. Some of these things are adding up to when you go on the road in a hostile environment. These are the type of things that can really – turn the tide in these games, and these little things are adding up for this Florida Gator program right now early in the season and on the road in its first game here. So Florida gets the ball after the safety, and on the very next play of the drive, Felipe Franks finds Freddie Swain for a 65-yard touchdown catch and run. Swain said after the game, quote here, I just saw it break down. We had a play where Felipe rushes out to the right, and I saw the safety come down. I just kept my route on towards the sideline, and he didn't see me. We had great blocking down the field, and that's how we were able to score. And that's exactly how and what happened there. So, you know, Franks kept his eyes down the field. rolled to his right out of the pocket and found Swain, and Swain did the rest with a couple of nice blocks from Morrill Stevens and Trayvon Grimes. 23-3 Gators, and the route was on at that point there. Mullen had to say about Swain there, quote, "We moved him in to be more of a slot receiver than an outside guy. He was much more comfortable there. He is making plays, and he's building confidence in doing so. It was great to see. One of those one of the good things about our receivers is that we had three different guys score touchdowns. We had a bunch of different guys score on the season. It's not like we're getting the ball to just one guy. Guys are stepping up and making plays," end quote. So, look, guys, yes, this was a team effort early on in this game, and one that was needed for the road. If you're going to make this game unreachable, it's going to take a complete team effort to make a game unreachable early, and that's exactly what Florida did. And speaking of Freddie Swain right now, look, guys, he's on point right now. For Swain, he had 253 all-purpose yards and three touchdowns in his first two seasons as a Gator. Right now, he has 209 all-purpose yards and three touchdowns in his last two games. So 253 all-purpose yards coming into the season for his career, 209 in the last two games. This offense is really helping Freddie Swain. And look, a part of it is Dan Mullen rewarding players who do good things. He's in there for blocking for running backs. And that's one thing I liked about him coming into this season, because he showed, even in the past offense, an ability to block down the field, be a receiver that would block down on defenders. And here he is making also plays in the passing game right now. There. So another thing, and you can tell these guys are playing for the team, because on the next drive for Tennessee, another maybe kind of play of the game that really shouldn't be overlooked, like the onside kick. Tennessee had a 4th-and-1, caught Florida leaving a tight end wide open. It looks like Tennessee is about to score their first touchdown in the game, but C.J. Henderson chases the tight end down and causes a fumble out of the end zone for a touchback, and Tennessee was about to get a little momentum there. But here's that phrase Dan Mullen loves so much: relentless effort. And that's what he was talking about in plays like this. That's what he's talking about. CJ, quote from Dan Mullen here: "CJ Henderson played spectacular. We talk about effort and giving an inch to defend. He makes a huge play. And to me, that was the game changing play." So look, here we go. Because Henderson chased that play down, Tennessee pretty much lost any chance of coming back into this game. Going into halftime, Florida added a field goal. It was 26-3 at halftime. But because of plays like that by C.J. Henderson and Michael Piran, you won't find that much in a box score. But those plays really showed up and made differences in the game here. So, look, I said it after that last week's game. The one place we can really see the team buy in and Dan Mullen's fingerprint is special teams. And that showed up on the very first play of the second half as Brad Stewart forced a fumble on the opening kickoff and Brian Edwards recovers. And look, I also still like seeing this. I wasn't sure how much we'd see it, but Dan Mullen has his system for what he does here. And Florida is still using guys that are getting a lot of playing time in the secondary, and they're showing up on special teams and showing up big as well. So when special teams matters, these are the type of results you're going to get. I wasn't sure how it was going to shake out with so many injuries, and if you take some of those guys off to keep them healthy, because you can't afford many injuries in the secondary anymore. But those guys are playmakers there, and Dan Mullen's going to put guys in playmaking positions, and that's what we're seeing on special teams right now. They are making huge differences in games right now. So offense takes over, and on the very first play after that, Jordan Scarlett breaks a tackle breaks numerous tackles on the way to the end zone for a 19-yard touchdown. And it looks like Jordan Scarlett's starting to find himself a little bit more as the season goes on. He's still a little indecisive at times, but I can't stress enough how much better Jordan Scarlett is helping this offense in pass protection. Look, I just talked about a 19-yard run there, but later on in the game, on the pass to Tyree Cleveland, it was play action to Scarlett. He picks up a defender that's coming in. Franks now has enough time to throw a 50-50 ball. Maybe he should have thrown a little earlier, but still, 50-50 ball. I've been kind of wishing for a little bit more of those with the receivers Florida has, and Tyree Cleveland comes down with those, and it's those little things that we keep seeing signs of progress in Jordan Scarlett and this team. Jordan Scarlett, note, it was something he has struggled with. At pass blocking, especially going back to the last year he played. And he's progressed enough to be a reliable pass blocker when Florida wants to put a running back down there for some extra protection for Felipe Franks. So these are some little things that are adding up. Little things that added up to blow out a rival. You know, this team is making progress week to week. Does this mean they're going to go out and win from here on out every game? No, but it does look like it will be enough to put Florida in position to win these games that are coming up on the schedule. As the team gets used to the coaches and the coaches get used to these, and as the players get used to what the coaches expect of them, we're going to see some inconsistency, but at least we aren't seeing a team that looks lost. Of course, you know, there are aspects like the defense versus Kentucky, but that doesn't look so bad now as for when we see what Kentucky is doing. So, you know, the Gators still had chances to win that game in the end, even how it all played out. So, you know, like I'm not looking for moral victories, but there are signs of progress here made by this Gator team after blowing out Tennessee 47-21. Fun game. Like that first half, I was hyped up. I was ready to go. Yeah, it's been a long time since we've been excited for, you know, a flurry of scoring that was happening as the Gators were putting on in all aspects of the game here. So it was fun. It was good to see the guys having fun here against a rival. Because as I say, going into this game, I got questioned a whole lot, and fair or unfair, it's what was happening. Like I said, I expected a close game just because I didn't know what to expect of Felipe Franks and what he could show on the road. We know how he played last year, but he looked composed for a good part of the night. I definitely like, you know, what I saw for the most part. Yeah, he went through a little struggle there in the middle of the game after halftime, but it was all said and done. No back-breaking mistakes. And that's kind of what he's going to be a game manager, people. And until he figures out more of this offense, I don't know how much better he can get, but he's already a better quarterback than what we saw last year. So I think that's to keep in mind there. Felipe Franks has taken some necessary steps to get better as we go on there. So some neat notes from this game. Plenty of notes here, looking at stats and such of what we're getting here. So Florida, of course, has won 13 of the last 14 meetings versus Tennessee. And look, guys, 47 points tonight or last night are the most the Gators have ever scored in Knoxville. So 26-point win was the third largest Florida margin of victory in the series, behind only the 59-20 win in 2007 and a 31-0 win in Knoxville in 1994. Florida won an SEC game by 20-plus points for the first time since October 15, 2016, when Florida beat Missouri 40-14. And this is big here. Florida increased its turnover margin to plus 10 with 6 takeaways, 2 interceptions, 4 fumble recoveries, and so 6 turnovers. And here we go. Florida season total of 14 takeaways. Guys, guess what? That leads the nation right now. Florida leads the nation in takeaways. So that's a product of a Todd Grantham defense. Is everything perfect on the defensive side of the ball? No. Are there some big plays left to be out there? Yep, but we kind of knew that's a Todd Grantham defense. But 14 takeaways right now. And look, you can make up for a lot of things when you can make teams turn the ball over. Is that something you can count on game in and game out? So far, the Gators have been able to do it, but you don't want to count on it too much, but it's still enough. Because, look, 14 takeaways right now through 4 games. Leads the nation, as I said. But Florida had 17 all of last year. And that was 81st nationally when the season ended. Right now, with 14 takeaways, the Gators lead the nation. So big, big time kudos to those guys for being around the ball, being aggressive, going to go get the ball, chasing down plays. Because that's what it's all about. You know, when you need an offense that needs some help right now, getting them in good field position, turnovers help in that aspect there too. So now Florida forced 6 turnovers in a game for the first time since September 21st, 2003 or 2013 against Tennessee. So Gators have forced the balls into some big time turnover games there. In that game, it was 4 interceptions and 2 fumbles for the Gators. So the Gators also scored 24 points off of turnovers, raising the season total to 43. They have 44 points off of turnovers all of last year. So one shy through 4 games that the Gators are scoring points off of turnovers. And Florida tied its season high with 9 tackles for loss, and it had at least 8 tackles for loss in 3 of the first 4 games here. Florida scored more than 35 points in the SEC road game for the first time since September 24, 2011 at Kentucky. And this marks Florida's 3rd game of the season, 200-plus rushing yards, matching its total all from last season. And Franks threw multiple touchdown passes for the 6th consecutive game. I tweeted this stat out earlier this week where he had 5 consecutive games coming into this one with multiple touchdowns. Now it's 6 after beating Tennessee, extending the longest streak of such games by a quarterback since Tim Tebow. A couple other notes here about the defense. Florida amassed 4 takeaways in the first half, making it the first time since September 21st. I already did that one there. So this was supposed to be more about players. Brad Stewart, first Gator since Brian Poole to have an interception and forced fumble in a game. Good there for Brad Stewart. Coming along nicely there. David Reese, of course, returned to the starting lineup, posted his 8th career 10-tackle game, 2 in 2016, and 5 last year. So this was his first of the year, of course, his first game back, added it for 8 total games of at least 10 tackles. Ja'Kai Polite notched his third forced fumble of the season. So Ja'Kai Polite, a big part of why these Gators are creating turnovers here with his sack in the first quarter. C.J. Henderson's forced fumble at the end of Austin Pope's 51-yard reception when he looked like he was about to score. It was his second forced fumble of the season. And Luke Ankrum with his first career interception. And as I mentioned earlier, that gave made sure Jared Garantano's first interception of the season was to a defensive lineman. So kind of funny how things work out sometimes. But, you know, I think you could tell competition plays a whole lot in what can happen. You know, Tennessee looked okay against West Virginia, you know, given the circumstances there. I didn't expect that game to be a whole lot close, but they dominated the last 2 weeks in their easier opponents, and it changes when did Tennessee turn the ball over and help Florida a little bit? Yeah, but Florida forced a lot of those turnovers there. A lot of it wasn't lazy play by Tennessee. It was Florida going after the ball and causing those turnovers. So as we do every Sunday, I ask for you guys to send me your reaction and what you saw of the game, and there was a lot of flurry of tweets for this one. I won't get to all of them, of course. I think over 150 responses or something here, so kind of boring if I go through and read 150 tweets, but I'll read a few here just because, you know, the interaction with you fans and out there on social media. And thanks for you guys for sending your reactions here, and I will definitely share and go through a few of those. So Charleston Gator Club, thanks guys for following and replying here. He goes, "That was the most fun our club has had at a watch party in a long time." And I like this part right here. "And that has a trickle down effect. More fun means more people coming out, which means better fundraising and being able to provide more scholarships." So there we go. Charleston Gator Club doing some good stuff for the Gator Nation out there, getting more scholarships out there for the University of Florida. And glad that club and that watch party had a lot of fun, just like we all did last night and watching Florida defeat Tennessee. Dustin Woolbright says, "Defense was great and Franks did his job. We'll certainly enjoy this win. Love that we set record for UF points scored in Neyland. There are certainly flaws that have to be addressed, but we are clearly on the right track." And there we go. Like I said, I think little things are adding up to we do see progress. We see progress in Felipe Franks. I think we see some progress in this offensive line too. I mean, go back and look at some of the throws Franks made and how much time he had to throw. As I already mentioned, Jordan Scarlett also helping in pass protection. He's coming along nicely in the run game as well. I think you've unearthed another running back playmaker in Damian Pierce, so that speaks to progression. So, look, in defense, just from 2 weeks ago, Florida is on the right track. Does that mean they're going to go out and beat Mississippi State this week, next week? I don't know. Does it mean they'll beat or upset LSU in 2 weeks if LSU keeps on their track? You know, they'll be picked coming in here in the swamp. But we do know this team is getting better. Record may not show it in the next few weeks, but the team is getting better. Now, here we go. So from great at to be a at. So, his name is great at to be Florida Gator. So it was fun to dismantle Tennessee. They are a bad football team, but Florida is better than I thought. Kentucky, Mississippi State results reinforce that as well. So yeah, I'll get into the Kentucky, Mississippi State, and the rest of the SEC when I go through some SEC scores, and we'll look what happened around the SEC here in a few minutes. Dalton Sparks says, reset the tone immediately. We've missed him dearly. Thought it was Scarlett's best game this year also. Impressed with the poise that the team had for their first road game. Good sign. Yeah, I mean, I really thought, and most of it was about Felipe Franks and his performance on the road. And I thought he did good, you know, even in that middle stretch. And I'll go through right here what we said. Franks, he hit his first five throws. He was 5 for 5. He looked like he was really on it, guys. And, you know, I pointed out last week where he starts the first quarter slow and really turns it on into the second quarter. And kind of the opposite this time. Franks hit his first 5 throws against Tennessee, missed his next 7. But look, not all that was on him. There were some drops, and there were times he threw the ball away. And guys, go back to last year and how many times we sat there and told ourselves, you know, Franks wouldn't get rid of the ball. He behind the line of scrimmage, he'd run away from pressure, but he'd just run out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage and take a loss for the play, not throwing it into the crowd, not throwing it into the stands, not throwing it into the sideline and taking a loss on play. But now he's smart enough to, if something's not there, you know, if he can go through his progressions quickly enough, he'll get the ball out and throw it out of bounds. That's one part of progression we see from Felipe Franks. Were there times he forced some balls? Yeah, that's just what he's going to be until I think he's going to keep getting better. How much better? I don't know. But I think Franks is going to continue to get much better. So as I said, Franks 5 for 5 on his first, missed his next 7, hit his next 4 to end the game there. So he ends up 9 of 18, 172 yards, 3 touchdowns, and Felipe Franks has surpassed his touchdown total by 2 now. Or actually, it would be 3. No, he had 3 touchdowns, but yeah. So surpassed his total from last year already. And hey, look, that speaks volumes. 4 games in and surpassing his touchdown total from last year. So let's see here. Scott Sweat says, the energy level and intensity was great. And to be a road game proves Mullen had his team ready. Long way to go, but this team is improving. And that's what we wanted. Oh, and I have a man crush on Damian Pierce. He's the real deal. Me too. If you guys have watched, listened to Gators Breakdown long enough, you know I'm the man crush for Damian Pierce. And one more time. Look, yeah, one more time. In the fourth quarter, bust out a big run. But we'd like to see him have more carries early in games. Absolutely. I think he's just a playmaker there. So hopefully he gets the ball. Hopefully he gets some more chances to prove himself. He did get one carry or one series earlier in the game. Not much amounted to it, but once in the fourth quarter again, and good blocking by Ziante Lewis and Brett Hagee to spring him for another, I think it was a near 40-yard run for a touchdown. So Damian Pierce in the fourth quarter furthering Florida's lead and what was happening there. Flagship U Sports said, if this win happens before the Kentucky loss, everyone is in hysteria. This was a good SEC road win against a rival. Truth is, Kentucky is legit and was overlooked by everyone. They dominated a top 15 team. Gators' only loss is not that bad. Going into that part of it, it's not that bad. You know, as I mentioned earlier, it was one of the worst games Florida could have played and it still had a chance to win it at the end. Clint Lawrence, great defensively, Dave. Struggle was real on third down. Pierce needs 15 to 20 touches earlier in games, not mop-up duty. I mentioned third down there, and yeah, let me pull up the stat here. Third down offense, really, really still a struggle for the Gator offense. Still maybe see where, that was where Florida has struggled, I guess, maybe some identifying some playmakers there to third down. I think we know Kadarius Toney maybe should need some more touches. Maybe he can help you convert some third downs. Not sure where some of the wide receiver screen passes have been. We haven't seen those basically almost since the first week of the season when Florida used those a little bit there. I'm surprised we haven't seen more of those as far as trying to spread a defense out and using the wide receiver screen game. But Florida, 3 of 11 on third downs. And third down conversion against Tennessee. That's going to have to pick up, have to get better with the meat of the schedule coming up and tougher defenses coming up as well. Brandon Sanders says, it was a great win, but I wasn't impressed with the offense. They were unable to drive down the field. If they didn't have explosive plays, I'm thankful for the explosive plays, but without them, they can't drive the length of the field. Well, part of that also too is they're not really getting a whole lot of opportunity to drive the field in the last two games. You know, 44 plays last week, and I think just over 50 plays this week. Let me see if I can find that right quick. Yeah, 53 plays for the Gators in this game. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of drives to sit there. You know, they get put in good field position because of what the defense is doing to help them or what special teams is doing to help them. Could they go and put together drives if they had to? You know, I don't know. It would have been a lot closer game, of course, without the turnovers and stuff, but not really a whole lot of opportunity to sit there and drive the field in the last couple of weeks. So Mike Honchos at MJohns 404 says they looked 100 times tougher than they have all year. D was nasty, and I mean that interior defensive line, linebackers, safeties, all play like they wanted to win. I hope this is continuing improvement. And, yeah, I mean, what Florida's able to do now, that defensive line being able to really come in. And Adam Schuler, I mean, he has made an impact these last 2 weeks. Good for him coming in as a transfer and being able to come in. 9 tackles against Tennessee. Brad Stewart with 7, Kyrie Campbell with 7 as well. So you look, you had Reese, Schuler, and Campbell, all you know, all your front 7 guys there, with Reese with 11, Schuler with 9, and Campbell with 7 coming in there, and TJ Slayton also with 5. So you know, some good numbers there from your interior of your defensive line making something happen on the stat sheet. And also getting in the backfield a good bit, pressuring that Tennessee offensive line when it was all said and done. Let's see, a few more tweets here. Heavy Metal Gator says, a great win. David Reese is a difference maker. Defense played well. They did pick on Dean quite a bit. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I think he's still got the spot solidified, but maybe we'll see some rotation there. Edwards, maybe he gets more playing time when it's all said. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. They are picking on him because they kind of have to. You know, CJ Henderson's still a really good cornerback. So we'll see. Offensive third down play calling was awful. Quarterback did not stay in pocket long enough. No progressions. Grimes and Van Jefferson's don't seem to exist. And Tony needs more. Yeah, you know, I still think part of this is lack of play, so we'll see how that plays out. Was surprising Van Jefferson and Grimes weren't targeted more. And also Tony, you know, after one big play, kind of invisible. So looks like Dan Mullen's not really going to force it into guys' hands right now. It's kind of the way it's playing out. I do think the game plans have kind of changed in the last 2 weeks because of the special teams and all the turnovers, not all the plays there. You've gotten great field position. So I do think some of it has been the game plan that they've come in with has really kind of gotten changed because you've been able to rely on special teams and interceptions, getting you great field position, and you can score. And, you know, last week they couldn't turn great field position into touchdowns. This week they were able to there. So some differences from week to week. Steven Carcello says David Reese was lights out. Him, Ja'Kai, and CC were straight balling on defense. Need to involve Grimes more. Please get Lewis out of there. Gamble needs to catch better or throw Cole out there. Offensive line still needs work, and I was happy with Felipe. Yeah, you know, tight end still one of the positions to kind of figure out hard what's going on. Siante Lewis will have some drops. But there'll also be times where he hits a nice block or two that can spring some runs. And he was one of the main cogs on the Damian Pierce run there to launch him. So, you know, Lewis, you're going to have to take the good with the bad. It looks like the coaches that want him out there. And it looks like you're going to get some good and bad play out of him. Kroll, I just don't know. You know, you saw him against Charleston Southern, a way overmatched team. I still think he has a lot of work to get adjusted to the game of football while being out for so long. Let's see. I got a few more tweets here. Oliver Berry, he says, thrilled, but it took to the end of the third quarter to loosen up and feel good about us winning. Yeah, you know, of course, what happened 2 years ago in Rocky Top, and the players talked about that too. I think it was David Reese who, you know, he was asked about 2 years ago. Of course, Florida was up 21-3, and Tennessee come and stormed back and got a win there. So, yeah, of course, yeah. I also didn't really feel comfortable until Florida was able to put it away, but they were almost pretty much able to put it away right after halftime and the turnover and the Scarlet touchdown. right after that. So let's see. A couple more before I sign off here. Defense is years ahead of Reese. Years ahead of with Reese and Jefferson. Offense still a ways to go, but Scarlett looked tough. Frank's made a few good reads. Another game showing steady improvement. So there we go. Yeah, progress, improvement. That's what we want to see. Christopher Yanes says, love the response in a big rivalry game, and this team is showing signs of improvement, especially on defense. Pulling an upset next weekend looks a little more likely. And last one, here we go. Tanner Strothball came out and beat a bad Tennessee team like we are supposed to do. Not perfect, though. Very excited about the energy and defense with 33 back at the helm. So a lot of people noticing, of course, that Felipe Frank or David Reese out here and making the difference that he can make and really solidifying this defense. Hopefully they keep making steps with him out there on the field. Last one. Here we go. Sean Collins at Sean PC. Improvement can be seen. Head scratching now that Franks has 12 touchdowns. So 12 touchdowns. Doesn't look like he does much, but has good stats. 50% completion rate is about where he will always be, and probably so. You know, he is what he is. As long as he doesn't make that back-breaking mistake, I think, you know, Florida will be in a whole lot of games where they can continue to improve the way we want them to improve and the way they look like they are right now. But big, big game next week as they go on the road to Starkville, and Dan Mullen makes his return there. So, of course, those fans will be amped up, especially after coming off of a loss to Kentucky. So let's look around the SEC before we get off of here. Ole Miss, 38-17 over Kent State. Hey, Georgia, Missouri, a little tough game. Georgia just really couldn't pull away there. Jake Fromm didn't have one of his best performances. Drew Locke, once again, can't really keep up with the better defenses that he has to face. But, you know, the Missouri kept making plays there. Every time it looked like Georgia was pull away, Missouri would come back and, you know, keep it within, 10, 11, 13 points there. But at the end of the game, it was 43-29, Georgia over Missouri. Texas A&M couldn't hang with Alabama. It was, did some good things in the first half, but Alabama's just a machine. And what they have with Tua at quarterback, it's unreal. Just how good that team is going to be and the machine they just have that just keeps on rolling. South Carolina beat Vanderbilt in another big SEC matchup and kind of controlled that game all throughout, really. 37-14, and it was kind of surprising. I actually picked Vanderbilt with the upset there, especially after the way they played Notre Dame last week. Maybe Vanderbilt isn't as good as what they showed against the Irish. Maybe it was a little bit of a letdown win that they should have had beat Notre Dame. Maybe it was a letdown, but South Carolina really came and controlled the line of scrimmage there. And so South Carolina, 37-14, gets their first SEC win of the season. And probably the biggest surprise, we mentioned it throughout this whole episode, Kentucky 28, Mississippi State 7. They controlled this game. They didn't rush for as many yards as they did on Florida, but they played better. The Florida's offense actually looked better against Kentucky than Mississippi State's offense did. Nick Fitzgerald with only 145 yards passing. Harris Williams, 22 yards rushing there. So they, Mississippi State could not get anything going against Kentucky. Kentucky is a very physical team. We know it from a couple weeks ago. How good are they? I don't know, but they're good enough to beat Florida at home, and with Florida playing pretty bad, but they over 300 yards rushing on Florida. But then Benny Snell with 165 yards on a very tough Mississippi State front. We'll see that team next week. But Mississippi State's gonna be frothing at the mouth now, and probably playing a little bit ticked off after they got crushed. They really kind of did get crushed by Kentucky, especially late in that game. Benny Snell just went crazy in the fourth quarter of that game. LSU 38-21 over Louisiana Tech, and Auburn 34-3 over Arkansas. Not much a game there. That La Tech LSU game got kind of hairy there at the end, but LSU was able to pull away 38-21. So that was a look in the SEC as far as scores go and as standings right now. Georgia and Kentucky lead the way in the SEC East, both 4-0, 2-0 in the conference. Florida gets their first conference win, so they're 3-1 overall, 1-1 in the conference. South Carolina behind Florida, 1-1 in the conference as well. Missouri 0-1 in the conference after their loss to Georgia. Tennessee 0-1 after their loss to Florida. Vanderbilt losing to South Carolina 0-1 there. And in the West, Alabama, LSU at the top of their respective SEC West division there. 2-0 in the conference is Alabama, 1-0 for LSU after they beat Auburn last week. So, and then Auburn, 1-1 in the conference after beating Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Arkansas, all 0-1 in the SEC West. So only four undefeateds left in the SEC right now, Georgia and Kentucky, Alabama and LSU. Sounds a little weird, doesn't it? But Kentucky is one of those undefeated teams and looking pretty good in doing it. I think they get South Carolina next week. So another big week in the SEC with Florida, Mississippi State, and Kentucky, South Carolina, another statement week as we go along here. So, guys, thanks for listening to this reaction episode of Florida beating Tennessee 47-21. A lot of fun. Gators get a win over a rival. No matter how you do it, it's always fun to beat Tennessee. So, I'm Gator Dave. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. You can catch Gators Breakdown on iTunes, newsforjacks.com/GatorsBreakdown, YouTube, all those versions, all those ways to get Gators Breakdown. And this one was fun. This one was a whole lot of fun. And we'll do it again tomorrow with Will Miles. He'll join me on the Monday episode. And then Matt Wyatt from the Mississippi State side of things will join me. He joined me earlier a few months ago talking about Dan Mullen and his time at Mississippi State. He's going to join us here and talk about these Mississippi State Bulldogs on the Wednesday episode. So look for that later in the week. We'll be right here back tomorrow for another episode of Gators Breakdowns. Guys and girls, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdowns.